What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives.
This week, we've got another M-clusive.
I'm so sick of this tired Nick joke.
I love the fact that we have an M-clusive. It's something different.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm different. So it fits.
I'm just happy you're happy with this M-clusive.
Who? Everybody's happy. Everybody enjoys an M-clusive. I do. I don't have to do all the talking.
You just get to listen.
Yep. And to make this week even better, we have 2 days until the Birds play in the Super Bowl.
Ah!
Right? 2 times in 3 years?
Yeah.
And we're from Philadelphia. We love our Birds. And it's exciting down in New Orleans.
Yes,
which
it is.
Is just a place to be in general.
For sure.
That whole city is a vibe. They definitely know how to party.
Oh, yeah.
And music, food, you name it, it's down there. So
there is not many things I wouldn't do to be there in 2 days.
Right.
I'm not sure many things.
Prices are probably so high.
Oh, yeah.
So high.
It's a Super Bowl. Are you kidding?
You have to be one of those people who aren't
a normal person. You have to have
who aren't going to be like, I need this to play out.
Yeah.
When we were, even though we were up 11,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to be like, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
My dad was texting me. He's like, it's done. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
speak for yourself.
I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
I'm not sold. Not until we're up bigger.
Mm-mm.
And then we won by 30. So
55 points. And on that note,
we should probably get into the episode. I'm sure everybody's tired at the point of hearing about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we could be a little bit more obnoxious, but we won't be.
We could. You know, we could let out some Eagles chants and stuff, but
we'll save it.
Yeah.
We'll save it
for
you.
We'll let it go.
So I was getting into this, you know, the Super Bowl is in New Orleans. My TikTok algorithm just knows I'm so excited about it. So I came across this TikTok about an Uber driver who swears she gave a ride to a vampire. I don't know how true her story is, but it definitely got me thinking about all the folklore and the urban myths, legends behind vampires, specifically in New Orleans. So the legend started in France, actually, back when Louisiana was a budding settlement, was founded in 1535. Company of St. Ursula grew to have missions scattered around the globe, and one of these missions was in New Orleans. A group of Ursuline nuns settled in the Crescent City in 1727 with the intent to be teachers and nurses. Their convent is still standing today in New Orleans. The mission in New Orleans became famous for the housing and educational work they did for the swampland community. They're uniquely separated from others because of the legend of the casket girl. You ever heard of them?
No, but all that info was, I was just sitting here like,
History.
Yeah, but I mean, I was in it. I was like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, you're awful quiet. And I was like, but it's, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm hooked.
All right. So New Orleans hit a rough time. Men of the new city needed eligible women to marry so that the population could grow. That was the whole point of France sending settlers to the area. Needed to get the population up.
Makes sense.
Problem was, the early New Orleans women weren't deemed eligible enough. The men were simply too picky, in my opinion. That's how I feel about it. The men were too picky.
Sounds about right. I just said that. We have so this is way off topic, but we have a vending machine at work,
mm-hmm.
and they stopped putting like drinks in it,
mm-hmm.
because we have picky guys at work, and they would just sit. I'm like, come on, guys.
Checks out. You ruin a good thing.
Yeah.
You could have had pop.
Now I can't get an iced tea.
And exactly where this story goes is exactly why I say, you get what you get.
Yep.
You know?
And you don't get upset.
Mm-hmm. So the king of France at the time declared that he would send young women to the colony where they would be educated at the Ursuline convent and made into worthy wives and mothers for this, you know, population thing, get the population going. It is truth that France did supply young women to the New Orleans for that purpose. And they were, in fact, taught in house. Like, this is real history. Can't lie. At the convent. However, the legend has it that one group of girls brought something with them.
Ooh.
They probably shouldn't have.
You probably should never.
Yeah.
But you do.
So, like I said, they were called the Casket Girls or Casquette Girls or Cassette Girls because they were only allowed to bring with them what fit in a trunk that was called a cassette or a casket at the time. This was before casket was like for the dead.
Yeah.
Like it was just a like that's what they used to bring their stuff. But that's why they got dubbed with that name. It simply meant just a trunk or a chest, not a coffin. So in some versions of the story, the girls were orphans or just considered like lower class. And in others, in other versions, the girls were daughters of like well-off French citizens. Just crazy. I would not be sending my daughter off like, here you go, go make life over there, start a new population. Yeah. But
I mean, I wouldn't, but
it was the times, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. You did what you were told in that sense, I guess.
And you also didn't get upset.
And you weren't picky.
Yeah.
So the batch of girls in question were different from their peers. They were deathly pale, malnourished, likely sickly from the poor conditions during the boat ride from France over to here.
It's a long boat ride.
Yeah. The ones who did survive the trip stayed in the convent and they were where they were nursed back to health by the nuns until the husbands were found for them. Whichever version of the story that you hear, one detail remains the same. And that is that they smuggled vampires to New Orleans.
They smuggled vampires from France to New Orleans.
Whether they knew it or not, they did it.
Are there puncture marks on your neck?
Well,
so are we talking like, because there's the, I guess you'll get into it later, but you have like vampire community.
Yeah.
And then you have so-called
vampires.
We're going to turn you into a vampire.
Right. Or
turn into a bat, Dracula
that
vampire.
Whole spiel. In some versions, it was warned that the caskets shouldn't ever be opened until the girls were married. So they were stored in the attic of the Ursuline. In other versions, caskets were open to reveal that they were empty. From there, of course, the legend took over that the vampires wanted to branch out from the old world either to raise their numbers or because it was growing difficult to hide themselves in the old world.
Okay.
Some versions of the tale say that the young girls were literally theorized to be vampires pretended to be suitable wives for the New Orleans men. So like they willingly knew that they were marrying vampires. They didn't care. They were too picky the first time. They weren't picky here.
I guess. You know?
They said that they slept in the caskets that they brought with them during the day and hunted for victims at night. Others say that any vampire wanting to go to America hid in the empty caskets, and that's why a lot of them were empty when they were brought over. They weren't empty on the boat. They were empty once they got here because they served their purpose. They didn't need to stay in the caskets anymore. That's how they smuggled their vampires over.
Smuggled them in caskets.
I mean, what's your other option?
Yeah, I mean, if they're vampires, I guess you can't. I mean, I don't even know if they went to Ellis Island or whatever, but you can't just be like, here I am.
Right.
Vampire.
You know? And good for them, because those are the same men that were too picky to begin with, and now, bam, you're stuck with a bunch of vampires running around. And that's what you get. That's
how
I feel.
Don't get upset.
That's
going to be
like
a running theme today.
Seriously. The old Ursuline Convent still stands and operates today as a museum, and rumor has it that some of the caskets are still in the attic, and the casket girls still living, or residing, rather, are still there, running amok at night. They make sure that the attic shutters are tightly shut by daytime, and especially on foggy nights, visitors of the French Quarter have witnessed pale-looking young women lurking around the old convent.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
It would also be insanely cool to see.
I agree. I so agree. And I know that you're going to find that funny because you're like, really? You'll mess with vampires? Yes. Yes, I will. I'm a Twilight girl to my core. I'm a Vampire Diaries girl to my core. I know it's different. I know it's not real life. Yeah. And they're way scarier in real life. But I'd take my chances on this one. I would.
Okay. I mean, to see New Orleans.
Yeah.
I feel like you almost have to just be like, you know, suck it up, buttercup.
Right.
You're like, gonna.
They tell you not to walk around New Orleans by yourself because of the whole, hey, maybe a vampire's gonna get you. Yeah, that's enough for me. It would scare me. It would spook me.
Buddy system because there's vampires.
Yeah, for sure. So moving right along to probably one of the most popular stories about vampires. I feel like if you know anything about New Orleans or just vampires in general, then you know about these guys. You heard of the Carter brothers?
No.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, I'm so excited to tell you this one then. I thought that you would already know this one.
No, I don't really know much about the vampire, but like that was my general knowledge earlier. Yeah. You know, there's a vampire community. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, I don't really know. There's a vampire community.
Right.
And then there's like the so-called monster vampires.
Like folklore.
There
like
you go. The
true,
folklore. Man. Yeah. Yeah. That's about what I know.
Carter brothers. They are a doozy. This one's crazy. John and Wayne, the Carter brothers. Overall, seems like two normal guys. Was the 1930s in New Orleans, and the brothers made their living in the Mississippi River. One day before returning home from work, it said that a young girl had escaped from their apartment in the French quarters and ran to the authorities. Her story sounded a bit, I say a bit, it sounds extremely far-fetched. She says that she was tied up by two brothers along with several other victims and held captive so that the brothers could drink their blood. Now imagine you're a cop, right? And this girl approaches you and that's what she said. Like, she's clearly disheveled. Like, mm-hmm. something happened to this girl, but that's what she tells you. Like, I'd be, okay. Like, I'm running with it. I believe every word you're saying. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about?
Did you escape the loony bin?
Right. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm hoping it goes to the point where they run with it and they're like, all right.
Luckily, they do believe her. The girl claimed that she was only able to escape due to her captor's carelessness in tying her rope. The cops were still somewhat skeptical, but agreed to follow her back to the home, which was on the corner of Royal and St. Anne. Once the police and the girl arrived back at the home, which was owned by the Carter brothers, they were horrified to find exactly as the girl described, four other victims, half dead, tied to chairs in one of the rooms. All four of the victims, trigger warning, had their wrists wrapped bandages. They were stained with blood, and two more bodies were wrapped in blankets that were tucked away in another room. So this, imagine like the smell in that like very close quarters that like you've got two already dead bodies. Four victims who were literally bleeding out or like super close to death. Like, I can imagine the scene that these cops walked into.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Absolutely wild.
To walk into that and to be the officers who like find it.
Mm-hmm. Right. When
I wouldn't know what to do.
Originally, you're thinking like, there's no way that's what happened. And exactly what she told you, you just walked into. Be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, am I okay? Like, what's happening? So it seemed like what the brothers were doing, where they would leave early each morning just before sunrise and returned every night just after dark. As soon as they would get back, they would take the bandages off of each of the victims, reopen their wounds, and would catch the blood in cup from which they drank.
It has like a satanic feel to it.
Yeah. Whatever it is, not good. Not, absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
The brothers would then redress the wounds with fresh bandages. They spoke very little and gave no concern for their victims' well-being at all. They were simply just a food source for them.
And did it say if these girls ended up being like missing women?
One of them ended up becoming a serial killer.
One of the women?
One of the women. One of the victims.
What?
I'm jumping. Trigger warning, or not trigger warning, headphone warning for anybody.
We'll try and fix that.
One of them, like a long time after, I didn't specifically write anything about it because I couldn't find anything like concrete enough, but I read in like a couple of the articles, one of the victims actually ended up killing like 30 something people after that and claimed that they were a vampire.
That's wild.
Yeah. Crazy.
Whoa.
Absolutely.
My mind was just
crazy. So, but jumping back to where my girl escaped.
Yeah, we're dressed in bandages again.
Yeah, you know,
finding.
Thankfully, they were unaware that the first girl had escaped. So John and Wayne Carter went about their routine that day, as usual.
Idiots.
Right, of course. So the police waited for the brothers to return. They were quickly apprehended and confessed almost immediately. They begged the cops to be murdered. The brothers said to the authorities that they were, in fact, vampires and would, if released, have no option but to continue to kill as their need for drinking blood was beyond their control. That was their confession. Be like, yep, okay, good enough for me. Works.
Yeah.
Like, Huh?
But it's one of those things too. Legally, the cop can't be like, okay.
Yes, obviously. I know. But
I don't understand how, I guess they just weren't good at counting.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had, what was it, four?
It was seven? Five. And then the two that were dead.
Yeah, it's seven.
She escaped. Yeah.
So
right.
We have seven. We leave. Mm-hmm. We come back. We know two didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. There's now four.
Mm-hmm. Silly men. Men.
One's missing. There's probably an empty chair with ropes.
Brothers were tried as serial killers. They were convicted and eventually executed. Their bodies were laid to rest in a vaulted tomb. Where it gets absolutely crazy.
Tell me
So, years later, when the next Carter in the bloodline passed away, the vault was reopened for the first time to put his tomb inside. What do you think was in the tomb?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Not John and Wayne. Neither of them were in the tomb. Are you kidding me?
No. Wild.
Both of their bodies were gone. No remains, nothing. Like, no clothes that they were, like, buried, or I guess not buried, and, like, entombed in. Whatever. That makes no sense. What?
What year did you say this was again? Because my only thought is, like, knowing the story and people said, oh, they're vampires.
1930s.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like that, like nowadays, if something like that got out,
mm-hmm.
you have goofballs out there.
Yeah.
That would be like, we're going to go in, we're going to take the bodies,
yeah.
And we're going to leave it, and somebody's going to find it. It's going to be like, oh, they really are vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so I just know if it was like a thing like that, maybe.
Their bodies not being there makes sense to me because I feel like I know enough about vampires, but in case you know nothing about vampires, it's almost impossible to kill them. Like, it takes a lot kill them.
Isn't a wooden stake through the heart?
There's many different versions. In most versions of folklore, I feel like it's almost common sense to kill a vampire. You have to decapitate them and burn them. That's like the first one. Second one is you have to take a stake through the heart. That one got really popular after the Vampire Diaries because that's how you have to kill a vampire in the Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
That's probably where you got that one from.
In Supernatural, you decapitate them. That's how they kill them.
Twilight, it's the same thing. Take their head off. You got to burn them. It's the only way to get rid of them.
I wonder why you have to burn them.
I don't know. I guess, like, to be sure. Like, you're really getting rid of them. That's
interesting.
For me.
There's part of me that wants to know, like, there's a vampire out there that was decapitated
mm-hmm.
and wasn't burned. Their head just,
right,
like,
what happened?
Back on?
You know, that's actually that's a good theory. I never thought about that.
Huh. I mean, Billy Butcherson, he gets his head knocked mm-hmm. off and finds it.
Right. Never say never.
So maybe they can, and that's why you have to burn them to, like, make it final.
Right. Well, I highly doubt that that's the form of execution that was done on the Carter brothers. So
I think not.
The story goes that to this day, the Carter brothers are actually still roaming around the French Quarter. There's been many, many sightings of them in many recent years. One being the new owner of the apartment building where the Carters once lived. The owner reported seeing the two men whispering on the third floor balcony. And when they realized that they were being watched, the brothers supposedly jumped from the balcony to the street and just disappeared.
I was going to say security cameras, yeah. But then I don't know how that would work with vampires
because
they don't have a reflection.
Nope. That's a big thing with them.
But the camera, not a mirror. They're not seeing their reflection. So could we see them on the camera, but if they look, they can't see themselves?
These are all really great questions that I wish I had an answer for you. I wish I could just, like, talk to a vampire. Wouldn't it be nice?
It would.
It would just be so nice. Like a friendly vampire that's not going to, like, suck my blood and turn me into a vampire. I'll take it.
Wonder if there's, like, now we're going down a rabbit hole.
No,
air quote, vegetarian vampire.
Have you ever seen Twilight?
Like, they drink cow's blood instead of...
Have
oh,
you
I guess
seen
that is
Twilight?
Duh.
He's
wow.
literally a vegetarian. That's the whole point. So he doesn't eat Bella.
Yeah.
Duh.
Gosh,
I love Twilight. Put me on a podcast and let me talk about Twilight for hours.
I won't join you on that one.
I'll find somebody.
I could try and color commentate, but...
So, moving on to our next vampire that resides in New Orleans, the Count of Saint Germain. You ever heard of him?
No.
I never heard of him either until I started doing this research. This is the mysterious case of Jacques de Saint Germain. So sorry to you, my guy, if that is not how you pronounce it. You've got a long name.
I wonder if it's like Jacques.
It probably is, but I don't have the pronunciation skills for that. So he is also known as the Count of Saint Germain. Count was reportedly born sometime between the late 1600s and the early 1700s. Big time, the thing there.
Yeah.
So long ago, we just don't know. Checks out.
Records back then probably weren't great.
For sure. How'd they even keep them?
There was somebody. I feel like that's how we have a lot of our history. Somebody knew somebody we needed to write stuff down.
Yeah, you're right. So he reappeared in New Orleans society as Jackie D. Saint Germain during the early 1900s. Germain passed himself off as the descendant of the original Count of Saint Germain. That was apparently a really big deal. He quickly became the talk and host of New Orleans. Everyone loved him. Everyone respected him, despite him having some weird and interesting characteristics. One of them being never eating around anyone. Anyone that knew him claimed that they never once saw him eat, which is a little weird. Never really met somebody that's got such a thing about eating in front of people.
But yeah. I mean, I don't even know how you don't accidentally eat in front of somebody.
Right. He also had perfect pale skin, and might I add, he spoke in a way that people were not used to at all. Like he was almost from a different place, different time type thing. That is the most vampire thing I've heard in my life. So on one night, a young woman reported to police that Germain was a vampire and had attacked her. Police went to Germain's home and questioned him about the allegations, despite being kind of weary, that's a little weird. This is a well-respected guy, but nonetheless, they did question him that night. And he explained to the police that the young woman was just drunk, intoxicated, out of her mind. Nonetheless, the police asked him to visit the station in the morning to give a formal statement on it. Germain never arrived at the police station that morning and vanished that night without a trace to never be seen again, ever.
That's crazy because he had to go somewhere. Right. He's a vampire. He went somewhere.
He went somewhere, of course.
Maybe Romania. Are there vampires in Romania? I think Romania is something with vampires.
Yes, you're right. Many people do believe that there's been sightings. There's an odd man known as Jack, which is a little interesting. It's kind of a modernized version of that name.
Yeah.
And those sightings have occurred throughout the years to present day. And there are some people who believe that this strange man named Jack is actually the Count of Saint Germain looking for his next victim. I just thought that was interesting enough to add a little crazy theory.
Yeah, I wonder if he still talks in that goofy way.
Right.
Where it's just you're not from around
skin,
here.
That's such a distinctive thing for vampires with me. You look like a vampire. I have a look.
Yeah.
They just, you know them.
I do think of Dracula from Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, for sure. Now I'm more so just going to talk about the history and fact vampires in general. Obviously, we're in 2025. The information has been around for centuries, and it's been displayed all different ways in media, and I honestly think it's just cool and interesting. It is difficult to pin down a distinct set of characteristics that are consistently attributed only to vampires, because in a lot of folklore, a lot of these things overlap. You could be one thing, could be another. So there's a couple characteristics, most of them, I feel, Most vampires are obviously undead. And that is to say, having been somehow revived, and many are said to rise nightly from their graves or their coffins, often necessarily containing their native soil. There's that.
Did it say anything? Often containing their native soil.
Yeah.
So from their land?
I guess that's what I gathered from it. Makes sense to me. If you're been alive forever and ever, you're probably not going to stay in the same place that you were originally from. Take it with you.
You take some dirt with you.
Take it with you. Hmm. Why not? Keep it in your coffin.
Yeah.
I didn't
know that fact.
That's... Makes you feel homey as much as you can in a coffin.
Some home vibes with you.
Right. Vampires are typically said to be of pale skin, very much like me. I think that's why I like vampires so much and talking about them so much. I was that child that the kids in school called a vampire because I've been so pale my whole life. I'm literally not even telling a lie. I eventually in third grade went with it and tried to convince my entire class that I was a vampire. I thought, all right, well, if you guys are going to bully me, let me... It did not, obviously. I'm not a vampire. I tried. They just bullied me more. Anyway, they range in appearance from either extremely ugly or extremely beautiful, depending on the version. But I think this is just because I've associated with, like, Twilight and the originals and all of that. Like, I think that's part of their thing is that they're good looking. Like, it kind of, like, lures you in.
I would agree. I don't feel like I've ever saw a vampire where they're, like, dubbed ugly.
Right. Like, they're specifically
some kind of good looking.
And I feel like that's part of their lore.
Yeah. I mean, even, again, like, the podcast kind of goes along with things like it, but, like, in Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there and was like, oh, wow, look at them. But, like, thinking back to it now, like, the scenes with it, I was like, yeah, they never portrayed any of them as, like, they're ugly, they're this. Mm-hmm. They were always some sort of, I guess, like, decent-looking person.
Yeah, and that's checked out.
Yeah.
Even with history. Another frequently cited physical characteristic is the inability to cast a reflection, like you were saying, or a shadow, which often translate into an inability to be photographed or recorded. So I guess, I don't know, it somehow translates there in the lore. They don't have a reflection. They don't show up on video.
The translucent.
Yeah, that's just how they be.
That's interesting. I didn't know they can't cast a shadow.
Yeah. That was a new one for me. Kind of just, I would just assume that they have a shadow.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I guess when I do think about it, like, hard enough, it makes sense. They don't have a reflection. Why would they have a shadow?
Ooh. You know, the other thing is, you never see them in daylight, true, or nighttime. So,
true.
Wouldn't even think about a shadow because of...
Right, you never see them.
Yeah.
Gosh, way to go, Nick.
It just dawned on me sometimes, you know? Light bulb. Sometimes, not all the time.
So, how can a person become a vampire? Obviously, we know the main one, be bitten by a vampire. Boom, you're a vampire. However, there's some more that I didn't know that I thought were interesting. They can become a vampire in a variety of ways. One other method includes sorcery. So, like, a witch make you a vampire.
Interesting.
You do her wrong.
Yeah.
She could,
bag the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm. One said that you could become a vampire by committing suicide in a sort, like, a certain specific way. I didn't do too much digging on that one. Sounded a little too morbid for me, but that's one way that it was stated you could. Or this one was the most interesting to me. Never heard this one. Having a cat jump over a dead person's corpse could turn them into a vampire. Never heard that. And then I thought about our logo. I was like, our logo has a little cat. If you think about it, it kind of looks like he's jumping.
He's jumping over the...
skull hand.
Yeah.
The corpse.
Look at us.
All right. But I thought that was interesting. I was like, I've never heard that.
I didn't think of that one. And it's, like you said, the suicide one's morbid.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously, we don't recommend it.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing.
No,
don't
do
it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not even... That's too much for me.
Yeah.
The cat one was crazy. I've never
heard. It's just really dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cat one is very, very crazy.
Never heard. So some people a long time ago actually believed that babies born already having teeth were babies that were born on Christmas or between Christmas and the New Year were predisposed to becoming vampires.
That's kind of interesting.
Don't know. Just thought it was. So if your birthday is between Christmas and New Year's, be careful. You've got high likeliness to become a vampire.
Yeah.
And the baby with teeth thing, didn't know that. I didn't even know that was a possibility.
I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I'm not a baby expert.
Yeah, me either. Especially not with teeth. But that's also, never heard that before. And like I said earlier, it's not easy to get rid of a vampire. It's extremely unlikely for them to die of disease or any other like normal thing that a human would die from. They're indeed often said to have faster than normal healing capabilities. Pretty self-explanatory. There are various methods to kill a vampire. The most popular, the decapitation, burning, wooden stake through the heart, and exposure to sunlight are all ways. Vampires are often said to be repelled by garlic. Obviously, I feel like you all know that one. Running water also spook the
That's
vampires.
That's interesting.
But never heard that one.
So come Halloween time.
Yeah.
Run the water, get the garlic out.
Get your garlic.
So if a vampire's chasing you, could you jump into a shower?
Probably.
Water shield.
Seriously. Nick just actually figured out how to defeat vampires without having to kill them. They can't get you.
Yeah, you could probably just make fun of them. Ha ha. Can't get me.
Can't get me. Well, then what if they just like wait for you to not be in the running water anymore?
I'd hope that my water would. I mean, I guess it is a waiting game and they can outweight you.
Yeah. They've but got guess, years and
but if
years.
You died in the water, then is your? I don't think your blood technically would be viable.
True.
If they were trying to drink your blood.
True, but in that scenario, I feel like if I'm either gonna get like eaten by a vampire, I'd rather just become a vampire.
Oh, I'm so like, down. If
if those
if
are my options,
the choices, if you're gonna kill me or transform me, transform me.
Right,
I'm like, down for it.
Shit.
If there's a legend or cryptid or something that like you have to get turned to vampire.
Yeah, for sure. I'm also
easy
going with vampire.
Yep.
Another way, or not way, but like thing that repels vampires, there's any kind of like Christian implements, like, you know, the whole crucifixes, holy water, that whole thing can kind of repel them. In some stories, vampires may enter a home only if they have been invited. And in others, they may seem, and in others, they may be distracted by the scattering of objects such as seeds or grains that they are compelled to count, have to count them.
Where did I see that?
They have like this compulsion in them that they have to count it, thereby enabling their potential victims.
You saying
to
that reminded me of it. Where did I see it though?
I don't know.
I saw it somewhere because somebody did something where they threw it. Maybe it was Hotel Transylvania.
Well, it checks out
know.
With the vampire lore.
They were like, they had they just instantly started counting
and they got away.
Now it's all coming back. Mm-hmm. I feel like I saw it somewhere else too. I don't want to say supernatural, but I feel like I saw it somewhere else.
Yeah.
With the self carry seeds.
Seriously.
Especially in New Orleans.
Creatures with vampiric? Is that how you would say that? Vampiric?
Vampiric?
Vampiric? You know what I'm trying to say.
Vampiric.
Characteristics have appeared at least as far back as ancient Greece, where stories were told of creatures that attacked people in their sleep and drained their blood. Stories of walking corpses that drank blood of the living and spread plague started in medieval Europe times, in times of disease, and people lacking like a modern understanding of an infectious disease, which came to believe that those were vampires that preyed on other people. Which is crazy that that could be like a misunderstanding in history, that they just didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know what they were dealing with.
Especially way back then.
And they just chalked it up to, you guys are vampires.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you guys are witches. Yep. That's what we chalk it up to. Research from the 20th and the 21st centuries have said that characteristics associated with vampires can be traced back to certain diseases, such as, sorry for all my medical people, theria?
Sounds right.
Sure.
I would give it to you.
Which makes you sensitive to sunlight. Tuberculosis. Which causes wasting, obviously, you know, we know tuberculosis. And pellagra, which is a disease that thins the skin. And rabies, which causes, you know, biting and general sensitives that could lead to repulsion by light or garlic. How crazy would it be if perhaps there's no such thing as vampires, instead it's just a bunch of sick people that were misunderstood at the time?
Yeah.
Not sure how that would explain the whole not dying thing and turning other people into vampires, but wishful thinking, I suppose it's a cool thing to think. I know I mentioned it earlier, but it felt wrong of me not to give a for real shout out to my favorite fictional vampires, Damon and Stefan Salvatore. But over the years, there's been countless amounts of vampire representation through movies, TV. A lot of them are based in New Orleans. Because obviously, why wouldn't you? Based on the fact that there's so much real life vampire activity. And I have to say, Nick, and I know you're going to laugh at me, but I would for sure go check it out for myself if it meant ending up like Elena Gilbert from The Vampire Diaries. I have to say, I would. If that was my fate, I would do it.
Yeah. If there's one creature, mummy, werewolf, vampire, wendigo,
cryptid type thing. Oh, I definitely want to be a wendigo.
Gotta be a vampire.
Right?
There's just something about them. They're so cool.
And I feel like in my heart of hearts, I would want to be like an Edward Cullen vampire that's vegetarian and doesn't eat humans and still just like...
Oh, if you turn me, I don't care.
Just goes throughout then society. Nope. What if you fall in love with a human and you couldn't...
I guess they're gonna be a vampire.
I mean, yeah, that's what happens to Bella.
Fish gotta swim, Birds gotta eat.
That's that. That wraps it up for me this week. I hope you guys enjoyed my little deep dive into vampires in New Orleans.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at
Ominous Archives.
X.
Ominous Archives.
And if you have your own vampire story or you just want to reach out, email us at
ominousarchives@gmail.com.
All right, guys, that wraps us up down here in the archives. We will catch you next week. See ya.
See ya.